Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to the D1 Baseball Nerdcast. I am Aaron Fitt alongside my good buddies, Kendall Rogers, and the NMG, the esteemed Nerdmaster General, Marcus H. Etheridge. Do I have that right? Is it H?
I don't think you've done H yet. We've hit most of the alphabet, though.
We're working on it. Guys, we got a special Nerdcast. We're recording this on a Sunday afternoon. Most of the games are already finished for the weekend, and so we've got a pretty good picture of how this the Field 64 is starting to shape up heading into conference tournament weekend. So We will be updating our Field of 64 over the course of the week, but we're going to dive right in here and start putting together our field as we head into conference tournament week. And we're going to start with the national seeds, as always, right at the top. We've got the Volunteers at number one, no brainer there. I think we've got to change at number two, though, guys. We had Oregon State the last four iterations. I think we got to change here, Marcus.
We do. I think the teams to look at now are Virginia Tech and Stanford. Those would be the two that I had next.
Yes, and I think I lean Hokies, ACC champions, few spots higher than the RPI. You know, more quality wins, 9-7, top 25, Stanford just 3-3. So I think for me, it's pretty easy call. I would go Virginia Tech number two.
Yep.
And Stanford three makes sense to me.
Yep. And the next, you're looking at Miami, you're looking at Oregon State. I think that's next.
I think I'd probably still lean Beavers here, number two RPI team. Did finish second. They really needed to win that game on Saturday to make sure they didn't fall behind UCLA. But I think I'm good with them at number four. Kendall, you look puzzled.
Yep, good with that.
All right. Miami five.
Yep.
Finished percentage points behind the Hokies, number nine RPI. So number six.
I'm going turtle here.
Fear the turtle. I like it. Maryland, by the way, is – where are they in the RPI right now?
High.
Three. Holy cow. Holy guacamole. How about that? Should they be – do they have a case to be higher in the pecking order? Do you think this is a good spot? Would you put them over Miami, or would you like them here at six?
I had them at six, but certainly, we can discuss it if you'd like.
Kendall, do you have a strong feeling here? I mean, the problem with Maryland is it's only 1-2 top 25, 3-4 top 50. Miami is 11-7 top 25 for Miami. It's pretty loud.
The other thing about Maryland, too, is like if you look at their non-conference resume, like it's not like we think they're really good, but like their non-conference resume is not overwhelming. I mean, did they get swept or lose 2 out of 3 to Dallas Baptist?
I think it was 2 out of 3, wasn't it?
I'll check on that.
I don't remember.
They lost 2 out of 3. So two out of three Dallas Baptist. They lost 2 out of 3 at LeClaire. They did sweep Campbell, but they caught Campbell when Campbell wasn't playing well. Baylor didn't turn out to be very good. So I actually am okay with where they are.
Yep. Good spot. Who do we like at seven here?
Louisville.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that too. Heavy sigh, Mark.
where we had, I don't know, 10, 11 teams that I wanted to squeeze into 8 spots. Now I've kind of there's not an abundance, of national seeds.
That Louisville may change did this win. Week. Louisville won its division in the ACC, big series win against Virginia this past week. Number 8 in the RPI, 10-5-1, top 25. Lots of things going for them.
Yep.
And then number 8,
Texas A&M.
I like it.
No, I mean, I think if they win a game or two in Hoover, they're probably going to be in the top 16, which is, I mean, the lowest team is what, 17 or 18. So, I mean, I think they'll at least get to 17 or 18, and they obviously won the West. So
won the West, which carries weight, and have won 8 straight series. So currently number 20 in the RPI, but there is room to grow there. They do need to probably come up a couple spots for the top 8, though, just given how the committee has typically treated RPI when it comes to these deliberations.
Yeah, let's not assume they won't be lazy and just go off the straight RPI again, because that's probably going to happen.
All right, so that's a pretty easy top eight deliberation, probably the easiest of the year for us. How about this? Mm-hmm. Well, changes from last week. I know Auburn is out and A&M back in.
The thing about it, too, what's really interesting is, like, I don't feel like there's a lot of competition for the top eight right now. Like, unless A&M's RPI just plummets in Hoover, which it probably won't. Where are the competitors for those top eight spots? I mean, maybe somebody like Georgia Southern if they won the Sun Belt tournament, something like that, just because of the Southern Miss if they win the Conference USA tournament is probably another good option. I mean, there's just not a lot of options there.
So let's plow ahead into the next eight here. Who's your next group of teams, Marcus?
Would be Auburn, Southern Miss. Maybe look at Notre Dame,
Virginia,
yeah, LSU, I guess.
I mean, just looking at the ACC teams real quick here, Virginia did actually finish ahead of Notre Dame. No, percentage points, I'm sorry. Notre Dame 16 and 11, Virginia 17 and 13. So actually Notre Dame higher in percentage points in the ACC, but comparable RPI, 15 versus 17. I mean, all the metrics there are pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to parse those.
I think I kind of like Southern Miss. Because here's my thing. So, like, it'd either be Southern Miss or Auburn. Because I think, like, I'm trying to think of teams that have the best chance with a strong week to get in the top eight. And I think out of all those contenders, I think those are the two teams that have the best chance to get in the top eight with a strong week.
Yeah, Southern Miss rebounded nicely up to 13 in the RPI. I think they had been down to the lower teens.
Look at that non-conference SOS too, 19. That's really good.
Yep. I like it. Southern Miss 9. I guess I'm with you in Auburn, even though I don't love the way Auburn's trending. What is it, kind of, they lost four of their last six series?
Yeah, something
now, granted,
like that.
You know, it's a little bit of a trickier stretch there with Arkansas and Tennessee in there, but also they – you know, had a bad series loss this past weekend to Kentucky. It's a speed bump. I mean, 16 and 13 in the SEC is fine. It's not special, but I mean, coupled with a 6 RPI, I guess, is what we're looking at.
Yep.
So be it.
Yeah, that's who I had. I had those two, and then it's a little more challenging. You know, LSU would maybe be there, but their RPI isn't great. And then, what about TCU? You know, they're going to be Big 12 champs. I don't know if they're 11, but I think they're in this top 16 somewhere.
Good point. And you know what? Maybe it's time to bring them in. Mm-hmm. 34 RPI is definitely a fly in the ointment. But, boy, oh, boy, that's a fly in the ointment. Oklahoma State probably needs to be in this mix, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I just look at it, if you win a league like the Big 12 or the SEC or the ACC, you're going to host. Okay, you just throw the Pac-12 in there as well. You're going to, unless it's just some kind of craziness going on. So I think, you know, they're going to be there. It's just a question of what do they do this week? Do they make it easy on the committee, or you know, what if they go 2-0? You know, but that would be some sort of craziness, because their RPI might be in the 40s.
Yeah, you're right. Well, do we like TCU as the next team? I mean, Big 12 champion, RPI be damned.
I don't know if I like them that high, but I like them as a top 16.
Who would you have higher right now? Oregon is as a number 19 RPI team all of a sudden, with an 18 and 12 Pac-12 record. I mean, that's started to look pretty good again. Virginia, Notre Dame, we talked about.
If UCLA had Oregon's RPI, they would be here, but they don't. Yep,
they don't.
Notre Dame maybe is the next team. Still 16-11 in the ACC is pretty good.
Yeah, so let's just again compare them and Virginia.
Do they go head to head this year?
I was just checking that. I don't.
They did not
think so. They will play in the conference tournament in the pool play. Notre Dame's got Florida State and UVA.
Good pool.
All the ACC pools are good because all 12 teams there are, like, you know. Yeah. I mean, even Pitt can beat you.
Yeah, there's no real right answer here. It's preference. You know, who do you like? Looking at, maybe RPI matters here when there's no other clear cut. You know, that's kind of been my philosophy. It seems like the committee does, if there's no obvious reason not to trust the RPI, they trust it.
Yeah. So Virginia would be the top RPI team in this group at 15, but only two spots ahead of Notre Dame.
Yeah. And then you have Georgia Southern there too, right?
So. Yeah, that's true. Georgia Southern too. Got to put them in that mix.
And of course, we're overlooking Vanderbilt, but losing SEC record. I can't host that at all. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
No chance. What about Texas State? Are they in the mix? I know when we talk about Georgia Southern.
I think they should be.
Yeah,
I think they should be. They've had an incredible year. Their RPI is within striking distance. If they're going and win the Sun Belt, to do that, they're going to play some decent teams. They would have an argument.
For me, they belong as a host over Georgia Southern, but I'm worried that the committee is going to fall back on the RPI and go with the team that finished three games behind in the standings because they've got 10 RPI, whereas Texas State is 26. I don't know.
Yeah. And Georgia Southern did win the head-to-head on the road. Right?
Yep.
So, there's another factor that kind of complicates it.
We, of course, have had Gonzaga as a host pretty much all season. However,
I'm kind of off that train now.
Yeah, me too. We were anticipating their RPI to jump into the teens. This past week, it did not. They only went 2-2 with a midweek loss at Oregon and just 2 out of 3 at USD. And now they're stuck in the, 27 range, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
27. So, I think that's it. I think they needed to do more than that. So, I agree with you. I would have Gonzaga out as a host.
Mm-hmm.
DBU was on our list as a candidate. Yeah. They're out. I don't care about the RPI. You're 4.5 games out. You're in third place in the Valley. You're not going to host.
Right.
So,
and then the other team to think about is Arkansas. They're down to 33 in the RPI.
Yeah.
They're third in the SEC.
Know it. You're right.
I mean, that's problematic. Certainly, if you win those leagues, it's one thing. But if you're just one of those teams jumbled up behind the leaders, it's not as compelling an argument.
That's a great point. So, if you're a third place team with a 33 RPI, even though it's 18 and 12 in the SEC is loud, but what do you do with that, Mark?
Right. And I think it's going to depend on one, what they do this week. And I got to see them this past weekend. And they didn't play well. They've got to figure some things out, especially on the mound.
Kendall, where do you come down on Arkansas as 18 and 12 SEC team with a 33 RPI?
Yeah, the thing about Arkansas, so the thing is, if you're giving TCU a top 16, and I actually don't think Arkansas should be in the top 16, but if you're giving TCU a top 16 seed as a Big 12 champ with an iffy RPI, you have cover for somebody like Arkansas to be in there, because Arkansas finished the year with a really good SEC record. They're the third place team in the number one RPI conference. There's a case to be made.
Not carries
winning
much
it versus being third is not the same.
Right. Yeah, I think right now I would have Arkansas out just because we know the committee loves the RPI. And like Mark said, I think TCU is the exception, not the norm. So I like TCU and Oklahoma State as hosts out of the Big 12. Oklahoma State did finish tied for second. They have the best RPI of the league, of any of those teams in the league. Are you guys okay with those two as hosts?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State,
along
18,
with
18 RPI.
Yeah. Those two. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left. So they would be two of those six.
Yeah. So my votes would be in no particular order, and maybe in this particular order: Virginia, Notre Dame. Or Notre Dame, Virginia, however you like, Oregon, TCU, Oklahoma State, and then pick a Sun Belt team.
I think you go Virginia, Notre Dame, Oregon, TCU, Oklahoma State, Georgia Southern.
So you go RPI over
I mean, I think Texas State should host over Georgia Southern, but I mean, what does history suggest?
Yeah,
it's, I mean, RPI matters more than anything, unfortunately. So the other team that we excluded here would be LSU. Okay, yeah. they're the four seed. Their RPI isn't great, but they're positioned. You know, they often make a run in Hoover. So, that's another team that's certainly in that hunt.
Good call. Keep an eye on LSU. I agree. I think they need to do some work in Hoover to get there, but they're not that far off.
Mm-hmm.
23 RPI.
I mean, honestly, they and Arkansas are in similar spots to me.
Yeah.
I know LSU's RPI is better, but if either one of those LSU's in Tennessee's bracket, but say either one makes it to the finals, it's a slam dunk. If they make it to Saturday, they're feeling really good. But if they, if they only win a game, then it's probably status quo, right?
Yeah.
Depending on what other people do.
I agree.
Hey, one other team I would keep an eye on too here, and I think they have work to do, is I think Texas. The thing about Texas is they are the number five seed in the Big 12, but the difference between 5-1 in that league or 2 in that league is one game. So Texas is at 22 in the RPI. They certainly have a lot of work to do, but I mean, they're 39 wins, 22 RPI. If they went on a run in Globe Life, they could be a top 16 as well.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They still have a lot to play for. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's any chance UCLA can make enough of a gain in the RPI to get into this mix. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, boy, 19-11 in the pack is loud. 51 RPI.
12-4. 12-4 against top 50. I mean, it's one of the best winning percentages in the country.
If they win the tournament, I wonder what their RPI would be. Maybe in the 30s.
Great question.
Then we're talking.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, you have a championship to fall back on.
Yeah.
You go, hey, well, they won the conference championship.
Yeah.
And you know, traditionally, the committee has given the West Coast teams some RPI leeway.
No doubt. But that would be a lot of leeway right now.
Yeah, no
doubt. Without a championship, 51 RPI team's not going to host.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board with that.
But yeah, we're just saying, like, if they can make a run in the conference tournament and boost that RPI into the 30s, maybe there's a chance. So we'll put them on the radar list here also. So I'm satisfied with where we came down here. Changes from last week, we've got Southern Miss back in. We've got Virginia back in. I guess they were out.
Yeah.
Oregon back in.
Yep.
Georgia Southern back in.
Yep.
A lot of changes. Jeez. And I think that's it. So on TCU, did we have last week? No.
Nope.
Jeez, just wholesale turnover here in our hosts. Mm-hmm. In the span of a few days. This is nuts. All right. Falling out is Texas Tech.
Yeah. Texas Tech, Florida State.
Gonzaga. Florida State. Totally done from hosting now. Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Wow. Everybody just really, a lot of teams stubbed their toes in Arkansas. Five changes in the hosts in the last week. That's nuts.
Keep it on Florida in the SEC tournament too. They're sitting at 500 in the SEC, but I think they're one of those classic teams that could get hot in that tournament and end up hosting.
Yeah, but they definitely would need to go. I mean, like,
no. They need to get to Sunday probably.
Yeah.
Saturday. Because if you win, so Florida would have one, two. They got to Saturday, they would have to win three games to get there, right? Or is it two? Three, I think.
SEC tournament is too confusing for me. I mean, give me simple pool play.
They would be able to win three games. They would win three games to get to Saturday because Bama fell just short of Saturday last year, right? And they won two.
And if you can stay in the winner's bracket to get to Saturday, even if you lose, you only lose one
single elimination. Yeah.
So if they go 3-1,
helps.
Which is what that's and also just from a conference winning percentage standpoint, like that would bring their aggregate if they go 3-1 up to, you know, 18-16, which is looks a lot better than 15-50. They just have to be above 500 aggregate.
And let's not forget they would have a road series win over our number 5 national seed in non-conference. So I mean, it's a tough pathway. They needed to win that final game against South Carolina, but they've got a shot.
Yep. All right. Good work, boys. Let's go to the second half of the show, conference by conference, to look at our bids. Alphabetical order, starting with the America East, where the Maine Black Bears remain probably the pick, although Stony Brook now also finished 21-9, same record as Maine. Yeah. I say status quo, but, I mean, Seawolves are surging.
Stony Brook can't win the automatic, right?
Correct.
Because of their – they're getting out of town.
Oh, that's right. They're leaving the league, so they're not allowed to
play. I forgot about that. Yeah, how about the ultimate petty move by the conference? That is
not a fan of that either.
Bush League. Grow up. Freaking catty. American Athletic is a one-bid league unless East Carolina does not win the auto. They're a slam dunk. Are they a dark horse host team? They won 14 in a row, guys. We put them on the list of candidates too, just to keep an eye on. So they're up to 25 in the RPI with a
14. Yeah, I would keep an eye on them. I put them in the stock report last night as like a team to keep an eye on if they won their conference tournament. Because I mean, if they won both, they would have a chance. I mean, so like for comparison's sake, East Carolina is 26 in the RPI, 13 non-conference strength of schedule. The 2-7 versus top 50 is problematic, but by comparison, Southern Miss is 7-8 against top 50 and played the number 19 non-conference strength of schedule with a 13 RPI. Hmm. So they wouldn't be quite Southern Miss, but I mean, if they won their conference tournament in addition to their conference, I mean, there wouldn't be a lot of difference between those two teams metrics-wise, I wouldn't think.
Got an outside shot. Keep an eye on it.
They need some teams to crap the bed, so to speak, for sure.
All right. They need help.
A-10, we'll stick with Davidson here. They did win the league by a game over VCU. VCU did come on strong, as they usually do. Interesting conference tournament action to watch there. But obviously, this will be a one-bid league, although Davidson and VCU both in the 60s. Like, not that far away, but just probably not going to get where they need to for that large. Boy, though, Davidson, 42-11. 20-4 in their league. Like, what else can you do as an A-10 team to give yourself a chance at nat large? And it's still probably not going to be enough. It's just harsh. ACC, guys, we've already got.
I mean, everybody but Pitt helped themselves this week.
Yeah.
You know, from on the bubble.
Exactly. So Virginia Tech, Louisville, Miami, Notre Dame, and Virginia are already in as hosts. And then after that, you've got Wake Forest now, I think, slam dunk in. They're up to 11 in the RPI. Sweeping NC State puts them at 15-14-1. They're golden. North Carolina, golden. Sweeping Florida State. They're now 15-15 in the league with a 16 RPI. They're a lock. Georgia Tech, I think, is a lock now after sweeping Pitt. They're 15-15 with a 21 RPI. They're fine. Like, all these teams, I think any one of those teams could go 0-2 in pool play and still get it. Everyone agree with me on that?
Unless we have a whole lot of stolen bids,
right. But like at this point, they're all ahead of NC State and even Florida State in the pecking order. And of course, you still have Clemson. So Florida State, I still think, is safe. But if they go 0-2, because right now they're 29 in the RPI and they're trending the wrong way. They just got swept. Mm-hmm. They're just 15-15 in the league. So a week ago, they were hosting. We didn't expect them to get swept in Chapel Hill. Now, I mean, I wouldn't put them in the bubble yet with a 29 RPI, but keep an eye on it. If they go 0-2 and finish on, you know, on like a 6-game losing streak to end the year, it could get dicey.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will give Florida State is like they have some really, really high-end weekends. Like they, you know, they swept Louisville at home. They took a series from TCU at home. They took a series from Miami at home. And they have a win over Georgia Southern midweek. So they got some high-end wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not worried about them. I'm just saying if they go 0-2, and the RPI drops and it's a 7-game losing streak to end the year or 6-game, then that would be maybe a little dicey. NC State, guys, slipping a little precarious now.
They are. Yeah.
They get swept at home.
They need to win some games.
Swept at home. They're now 14 and 15 in the league. RPI down to 42. Yes. 1-1 in Charlotte probably gets them in, but a little dicey. I still think 1-1 gets them in. I'm gonna go ahead and say that. Not definite, but most likely. 0-2, they might be in trouble. Because momentum matters to the committee.
Yeah.
Clemson did what they needed to do this weekend to stay alive in this race. They swept Boston College, who's not good, but we had them in last week based on the projection that we think they can sweep Boston College.
Yeah.
And they did, and they did that. So they're 13-16 now, which I think is the bare minimum you need to be to have a chance. They're still 30 in the RPI. I mean, right now I have all these teams still in.
Yeah, they're on the bubble, right?
Yes.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, last week it fell their way. They're one of the last teams in. It's going to be the same thing here. They're going to be one of those bubble teams. And honestly, they've got to go in and win games next week or they're going to get squeezed.
Yeah, and guess what? They play the hottest team in the ACC and then Virginia Tech.
Mm.
So they play North Carolina and Vautech.
So they got UNC on Tuesday and Vautech on Thursday. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Curious how they'll set up their pitching attack there. Yeah, I mean, I think
I would have them on the extreme bubble for sure.
I mean, I would have them on the bubble. It's a 30 RPI and a 13 and 16 in the Power League. I mean, I think that's a bubble resume. I don't think it's extreme bubble. It's well, I don't know what extreme bubble means. Maybe it is extreme bubble because it's definitely like it definitely could go either way. It feels like it could
I think
go
it's
way.
I think it's super extreme bubble.
Okay, super extreme.
I'm kidding.
I love it.
Super duper
special. Man. Yeah, let's go to the.
Speaking of, by the way, real quick, they do have a series loss to NC State. If we're just kind of trying to separate some of these bubble-ish teams at home.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, and I think NC State clearly ahead of them based on well. I mean, it's not that clearly. They're only one game, only one game ahead in the standings. Isn't that wild? Clemson's only that's one nuts. Game behind NC State. Like, that's nuts. Yeah.
You know what's something to think about is like we're sitting here going, they might be bubble. Okay, actually, they're really bubble. Imagine like you know, and we follow this from each week. Imagine what the committee does when they see this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what yeah. I mean? Like, we sit here and like really study this stuff, but like these guys and girls who see this for the first time, I can only imagine.
Well, there's pros and cons to that because we have some preconceived notions about how teams we viewed teams earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll admit to that. Sometimes I think about, hey, somebody really struggled early in the year and I can't get that image out of my mind. And then I look at the resume and it's actually a lot better than what I thought. Where, you know, if you're coming in blind to that and you're just looking at the end result, you know, there could be, you know, there could be some advantages to that, right?
So the A-Sun guys has gotten a little interesting here. Kennesaw takes 2 out of 3 at Liberty this past weekend. So they split their season series, 3 games apiece. The road team won both series. They played twice. They will play again in the conference tournament. A-Sun tournament has a really funky format. With 2 pools, but like the good RPI teams are in 1 pool and the bad RPI teams are in another pool. They're trying to maximize the number of games that will boost your RPI if you're on the bubble, which is an interesting approach. And so Kennesaw plays Lipscomb, Liberty, and FGCU. Right now they're tied at 19-11 with Liberty at 40 in the RPI and Kennesaw at 43. I mean, like, it's just a total coin toss between these two teams. I don't know if either of them would get an at-large, but right now they're both, I'd say, on the board.
Well, I would feel better about them if they'd won the league instead of tying for third.
That's a great point because on the other side, you've actually got Eastern Kentucky and Lipscomb who tied at 20-10, so had better conference records. Now, I know it was a weird – schedule. So how is the crossover between the East and the West? Do we have any idea how this worked? It's weird that they played the teams in their division twice. So did they not play the teams on the other side at all? Like for all practical purposes, is it 2 different leagues?
2 different conferences, basically.
Yeah. Like that's wild.
I don't know.
So you really can't even compare Liberty and Kennesaw with Eastern Kentucky and Lipscomb because none of them played each other. It's bizarre.
It's like the WAC. The WAC was kind of the same way.
But I mean, like, it's what a strange, strange setup in that league. Thinking outside the box over there. In any event, I'm going to put them both on the list here in yellow.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to approach it at this point.
I'm going to continue to project Liberty as the AQ, but who knows? Clearly, it's a coin toss.
It could be neither of them, right?
It could be neither of them.
It's not like they're doing a Davidson and just running away with the league or
right.
Even with VCU there, but the rest of the league.
Big 12. No change. Everybody's safe here. Six teams. How about West Virginia doing what it needed to do with a sweep to get to 14-10 with a 35 RPI? They cruise in. Obviously, Texas safe for the sweep. They're 14-10. Everybody there. I mean, you got six locks. How about that? Nice and easy. Thank you, Big 12, for making our jobs easier. That's all I care about.
Guys, the only mystery there is the hosting. I mean, that's it.
Guys, is UConn in trouble if they don't get the automatic? They get swept by Georgetown this weekend. Still win the league 16-5, just a half game ahead of Creighton. RPI at 50. I mean, all of a sudden, I don't love their chances if they don't get that that auto bid.
It's problematic. It really is. They went from safe last week, and then 1 week later, they look very vulnerable. And they really do.
It's a very unexpected turn of events there. Campbell, I mean, they're probably almost as good a shot as UConn at this point. Campbell staying, you know, right there in the high 50s in the RPI, number 58. They finished 20-3 in the Big South. They won it by three games. I know I said they would win it by four games. I said that all year. Didn't quite get there. So my apologies to the rest of the Big South. Probably not in at large, but got a chance.
Yeah.
They're in that group, you know, with the other, the Charlestons, the Liberties, the Kennesaws, those teams that have an outside shot, but probably not going to wind up getting the nod. Big Ten. Maryland, and then Rutgers. I think Rutgers is safe now.
Yeah. I'll put Iowa back on the board as a potential bubble team.
They made a run.
Up nine spots in the last week to 58 in the RPI after sweeping Indiana at home.
How about that? 58. Rutgers is at 41 now. They had been slipping a little bit. I know Sean Spratling pointed out the other day. And they did lose this last series, Rutgers, at Michigan, but they nonetheless, I think they climbed in the RPI. Is that right? They're up two spots over the last week. You know, they got swept. I mean, not swept. They lost two out of three on the road at Michigan. So I don't know. I mean, nonetheless, I think they're fine. 41-14 with a low 40s RPI as a Big Ten team. They're fine. And then I'll put Iowa on the board here. It's a bubble candidate. Interesting case. Like right now, I mean, you'd probably say they've got a better chance than, like, let's say a Campbell or a UConn as a regular season champion in a lesser league, even though those teams have better RPIs. I think the Big Ten has more clout and gets more more leeway. Okay. Big West, of course, is the Gauchos. CAA, we've got College of Charleston at 19-5. They won the league by four games. RPI did slip down to 60, though. I think they were in the high 40s or so a week ago.
They lost a game to Townsend over the weekend.
Yeah. So they dropped eight spots over the last week, actually.
They lost two out of three to Townsend.
Not what they needed to do. Probably makes them a long shot now. I would have them behind Campbell, UConn, those other teams. But, you know, of course, they're the favorite for the automatic bid, which is what we will project them to win. Conference USA. Last week we had Southern Miss, La Tech, UTSA, and Old Dominion. So, of course, Southern Miss won the league with a 23-7 record, three games ahead of second place La Tech, who did win a huge series on the road at Charlotte. Not an easy series because Charlotte has been playing very well. So, La Tech at 20-10 with a 47 RPI. I've got them in. I mean, it's still
I think all three of those teams. I think all three of those teams are so impossible to differentiate. Yeah. I think they all get in.
Yeah, right now they're like all between 47 and 40, 46 and 49 in the RPI.
Yeah.
La Tech.
So how would you rank them? I would go La Tech.
La Tech.
Then ODU or UTSA. I mean, it's so close.
There was a head-to-head here.
UTSA won the series and at Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Then Old Dominion lost the series to La Tech. So, yeah, I would go Old Dominion behind the UTSA.
But Old Dominion also won a series at Southern Miss, which nobody else
did. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Except the UAB.
Yeah.
Well, that was in Birmingham. But they still beat them. And oddly enough, that's who Southern Miss opens with in the tournament.
So, and UTSA did what this past weekend? UAB 2 out of 3 at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to put UTSA ahead of Old Dominion based on the head to head, and otherwise their metrics are basically identical.
Yep.
19-11 records, RPI is like back to back. I mean, it's nuts. So right now I'd say okay, all four of them probably in, but somebody could get bumped if they stub their toe in the conference tournament and the bubble shrinks.
Right.
To the Wright State Athletic League. You like the Mastodons here, Mark?
if that's who Wright State is, that's who I'm going with.
We're going to go with the Raiders. Won the league at 20-9. They are the top seed in the conference tournament. Ivy, guys, we've got a decisive rubber game on tap this afternoon. Last I checked, I think Columbia did win 4-2. And so we've got a rematch coming for all the Mobbles. By the time this podcast is posted in our field, we will have an actual answer, an actual automatic qualifier. So for now, we'll leave that blank. I'm going to say Penn wins it, though. I'm saying it all along. To the MAC, we had Fairfield. Fairfield did win the league by a half game over Kendall's Red Wolves.
Red Foxes.
Damn it. Got Red Wolves on the brain. Let's stick with the Stags.
I like how you thought about that a little bit. Like, maybe we make a change here.
The MEAC guys was kind of wild this weekend.
The
championship game.
Coppin State.
A little nuts. Coppin State did take down Delaware State 18-12 in the final game.
Yeah. So congrats to Coppin. It's their first NCAA tournament appearance in school history.
Is it really?
Yeah, Division One.
But an AQ change. Coppin State in. Delaware State out. You know, this is really an indictment of us that we projected the wrong team all along. We thought.
Yeah.
We thought Delaware State had this thing.
Yeah, no, I blame Mark. He's our SWAT correspondent.
Yeah. Yeah. Great job, Mark.
Or the MEAC. That's the problem.
My goodness. Well done, Ken.
The MEAC correspondent. Excuse me. He does both, so I get him confused.
It's
the American Conference.
Easily done.
Ball State guys won the league by one game, 32-7. That's a lot of freaking league games. 32-7,
isn't it? 39 league games.
Yeah. Central Michigan 30-7. Two fewer games, so they finish behind Ball State. One bit league, but I'm fine sticking with the Cardinals here.
Yeah.
Ball State's going to have to win that league with a 70 RPI, 1-5, top 50. Not going to do it.
You are correct, sir. To the Missouri Valley. So SIU winds up winning the league with a 16-5 record. Evansville finishes second at 14-6. Neither one of those teams have at-large worthy RPIs, although the Salukis are not too far off. They're kind of the same boat as Ball State, 75 RPI. Not going to get there. Evansville 87. DBU is a team we have projected to win the auto bid. They're a 14 RPI, even though they're the 3 seed in this tournament. Do we want to stick with that projection? Do we just believe in the Patriots, or do we want to make the switch to SIU and put DBU in as an at-large?
It's so difficult right now because DBU has been great in non-conference games, but not so much inside the league.
Yeah.
And You know, who's playing in the conference tournament? Those are teams inside your league.
Indeed.
So, you know, that gives me pause. I do think that they're the team with the most talent. You would think they would win, but you would also believe they'd have a better conference record than they do.
You would, by God.
I kind of like the idea of putting SIU in as the auto bid.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think I'm fine with that.
That just shrinks your bubble by a spot, so there may not be room for someone later. It's, how do you
want to do this? We can revisit it. Where is that tournament? Let me look.
I was going to check that myself.
Let me see. It is in Missouri State.
Okay. Well, we should just make a decision, I'd say, now on whether or not who do we think is going to win the conference tournament? Let's go ahead and make that decision. Let's be
let's just go DBU. That just makes it a little easier.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, I still, like Mark said, I still believe they're the team that has the most talent. SIU's had the best season.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain West, UNLV won the league by 3 games. We will continue to project them as a one-bid league.
Mm-hmm.
NEC, the Sharks of Long Island, won the league for the first time, I think, since 1990, I think, if I recall.
Oh.
So congratulations to them. 18-9, a game ahead of Central Connecticut and Bryant. We'll stick with the Sharks. I still think they should be the Blackbirds, but we'll stick with the Sharks. Ohio Valley. Belmont, guys. Maybe.
I think you have to make that switch. Yep.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had SEMO last week. We've kind of bounced back and forth on this one, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kendall got bullied into making that switch a few weeks back when we had Belmont in the Nerdcast, and then he got bullied on Twitter and made an executive decision to replace him with SEMO.
Yeah.
Have some guts, Kendall. You're disgraceful.
Sorry.
Oh, speaking of bullying, that's kind of harsh there. Let's move it along.
Yeah.
Pac-12. We need
a kinder, gentler Aaron.
Yeah, not to be. Not this time of year. I'm out for blood. We're locked in here at 5 bids in the pack. Stanford, Oregon State, UCLA, Oregon, Arizona. That's it.
Like I said last week, though, keep an eye on Washington. UW now with 12 straight wins. Keep an eye on them in that conference tournament.
Yeah, they could make a run. I mean, they need to win it still. I mean, it's 14-16 in the league with an 86 RPI. They're not going to get to that large range, but they're certainly playing well. How about that? Unexpected run for a team that had sounded for a while like the worst team in the league. We talked to other coaches, you know, and they figured it out. So good for them. Patriot League. We had
stick with Army.
So we've got when is this?
It's coming up midweek.
Yeah. Midweek, yeah. Weird. Okay, Bucknell Army, and we'll stick with Army. SEC, not that tricky, I think. Tennessee, A&M, Arkansas, LSU, Auburn, Florida, Vandy, Georgia, all safe. Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Is Ole Miss on the bubble or are they just in?
I think they're on the bubble.
Okay.
I think
14.
If they lose to Vandy Tuesday, then they need to worry. They may still get in, but it's going to depend on what other teams do.
Yeah.
So if they win, I think I'd feel pretty solid about them. It's just you know how you guys have seen this through the years. You never know how this bubble is going to change and transform.
Right.
So we've had teams that are solidly in this version, of the projection that end up getting out just because of weird stuff happening. And so Ole Miss is kind of in that area.
So they're 14-16 in the league with a 36 RPI. I mean, for me, as of this moment, they would be ahead of NC State and Clemson and a number of other bubble teams. Probably all those CUSA teams would all be probably behind them. Maybe not La Tech. Anyway, Yes, right now I'd say they're in, but you're right. If they lose the play-in game to Vandy, it definitely could get interesting. I mean, are they in? Yeah, I guess they're behind Florida State right now, but anyway.
Yeah.
SoCon. That's it, though. I mean, Alabama, I know they won that series, but they're 12-17 with a 47 RPI. Like last year when they had
to go on a monumental run. Yeah.
Last year when they wasn't it 12 wins last year also, and they got in, but they had a much higher RPI.
12-17.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a story on it that'll run shortly.
They were 31 when the committee saw their resume.
And they entered the week at like 37. Okay. So they like picked 10 up spots like six higher. Spots. So, you know, if they were to jump up, say, 6-7 spots, then you're still in the 40s. So yeah. It's not as compelling.
Agreed. Okay. And then that's, I mean, it's Gamecocks 13-17 with a 67 RPI. Not going to happen there. Yep. And Kentucky 12-18 with a 54 RPI. Not
great wins, but there's just not enough else.
Yep. Okay. SoCon, we've got Wofford, and this is now a one bid league unless Wofford gets upset because Mercer is no longer in that large team for me. Although, I mean, you know, 12-9 they finished. They did rebound and win their last game, but 52 in the RPI. It's and 4.5 games out of first. Not an that large team.
Yep.
No.
But we already had that last week. It was one bid league, so no change here. Southland, McNeese wins it by a game over Southeastern Louisiana, but we have actually they're playing right now.
They're in the tournament.
So they
already won their half. Right?
Yes, Sela and New Orleans play today, then the winner plays McNeese right in Lake Charles next week.
Yes.
So indeed. McNeese is the call.
Agreed. Okay. Thank you.
And longtime Nerdcast listeners know the origin of the McNeese word, right? Because I mean, otherwise, you're kind of wondering what in the world are these guys talking about.
If you have to ask, then you'll never know. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it's just if you haven't been with us all along, then you're dead to me.
Yeah, stupid young people.
Young people are the worst. Let's go to the SWAC guys. What do we got in the SWAC? We had the.
Yeah, last week we stayed. We went round in circles and we just stayed status quo with Florida A&M. Southern probably has the best. You know, if I just look at it, that would be who I would pick. But I'm obviously it's who's going to win the conference tournament, and that's a league that's been really balanced. So Southern
swept Alcorn State, who by the way is 2-39, TFCO. Yeah. Nice season. Alabama State finished 21-8. They finished with a 2 out of 3 series win at Alabama A&M. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a one bid league.
I'm okay with FAMU.
Okay, we'll stick with it. Summit. So North Dakota State wins the league by a game over Oral Roberts. We've had North Dakota State projected. You want to stick with that?
Yep.
Okay. Sunbelt. Texas State, Georgia Southern, Coastal, all locks.
Same teams. Louisiana lost a – well, did they – I thought they lost a series. I think they must have lost –
I think they won it.
Yeah, they lost the opener to Little Rock and came back and won the last two.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're 60.
But RPI is still 60. Mm.
With the 19 they have and 11.
They open with South Alabama. And if they can win it, then they get Texas State. So they have a path to win their way in. Obviously, the problem is you're playing good teams. But otherwise, you know, winning games against bad teams this time of year, probably it's not going to help their RPI enough unless you win the automatic.
And we can keep them on the ladder, but I don't think they're right now worth putting back on the worksheet. They need to win some games to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Toreros? They did lose 2 out of 3 at home. I think they're out now, guys. Yeah, down to 56 in the RPI. Mm-hmm. They finished third. They finished behind Portland, who finished.
I'd probably have them out too. Unfortunately, Portland 17. I think they're. Yeah, I think they're a regional caliber club, but just, you know, the WCC historically just does not get lot of love.
Yeah. Portland finished 17-9, San Diego 17-10. 56 RPI, just, yeah. I mean, maybe West Coast leeway on the RPI thing, but I feel better if they finish second, not third. I mean, yeah. That's silly, but.
Yep.
So we'll cut them. One bid league, the Zags, unless they get upset in the conference tournament. Western Athletic Conference, the WAC. We've going to stick with the Lopes here. Lopes still, I think, an at-large team with a 44 RPI, going 25-5, 6-3, top 50. There's enough there, but don't totally fall on your faces in the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us 66 teams for 64 spots, having already trimmed San Diego. We added a couple teams to our list here, Iowa and Kennesaw, we added. And so we've got to cut two. Candidates include a second A-Sun team, Iowa, Clemson, or like Old Dominion.
I would
probably cut one of the A-Sun teams.
I would cut one of the A-Sun teams in Iowa as well. The thing about Iowa is if you look at its non-conference schedule, it lost 1, 2, 3 non-conference weekends. It lost 3 out of its 5 non-conference weekends. And if you're a northern school like that, you've got to win some of those weekends.
So by resume, I totally agree. If we're projecting, Iowa just had a really good weekend. If they go on a run here in the Big Ten tournament, that will be practically empty. Without Nebraska there in Omaha, that should be, you know, they can play their way in.
Absolutely, 100%.
That would be the only thing to consider here. Otherwise, I agree. If the season was over, I'm on board. But that gives me pause.
For sure, absolutely. If they go on a run this week, they'll get in my opinion, because their RPI will probably get up to around 45, 50.
They could be where Rutgers is.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it, 2 years ago that they won the Big Ten tournament, or was that last year?
I don't remember.
It was recently.
Who could say? Who else did we add this week? Because we took San Diego out, and we're at 66 after taking San Diego out.
Wait.
And if we
Wake wasn't on the sheet. Yep. I added Thank it you. To your sheet.
Thank you. That's right, Mark. Good call. Well done. Look at you on top of it. I love this. I love the worksheet accountability this week.
Nerdmaster's Teamwork. Got a Nerdmaster.
That's right.
So Kennesaw stayed out and Iowa out?
Yeah, I think so.
They would be the out of this list, yeah.
Yeah, we're who
would you have as the first team out of those two?
Iowa for me.
Okay, Iowa 65, Kennesaw 6.
And then you're probably looking at the Cajuns, San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego.
San Diego would be on that list for sure.
All right, those would be the teams to consider as the next group.
Yeah, San Diego, Louisiana. That feels like the next four. Last four in. We've got probably Clemson.
Clemson.
Old Dominion. UTSA.
Because they're joined at the hip.
Yep.
And is it Ole Miss?
I think I've got Ole Miss ahead of NC State and La Tech.
Okay. I don't disagree.
But it's close. I would probably put NC State as in this next spot. As agreed. Okay. Our ladder is 61 NC State, 62 UTSA, 63 Old Dominion, 64 Clemson. There's our cutoff. Iowa would be team 65, Kennesaw team 66. San Diego team 67 and the Cajuns team 68. One at-large change from last week, Wake Forest in, Torero's out. It gives us 11 in the ACC, but again, Clemson in a precarious spot, needs to help itself here. Automatic qualifier changes, we had two. One of them was already decided, Coppin State winning, Delaware State out, And then Belmont's now projected for us as the Ohio Valley Conference champion over SEMO. But all this will be decided over the coming days, guys. We won't have to project automatic qualifiers anymore. We will know who our automatic qualifiers are, and that's exciting. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I can't wait for this week. It's so many storylines to follow. What will the committee do with these RPI, you know, discrepancies, misalignment? You got mid-majors, you know, with stolen bids, and can they play into the host discussion? There's just so much stuff. And I got to tell you, I'm excited just to – I'm going to do the whole tournament diary thing and try to cover all this stuff and check out how you know, one result in one part of the country affects something, you know, totally across the continent here. So excited to see it.
Kendall?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, the Big 12, you know, you have – some interesting teams like TCU who have higher RPIs, but should obviously host. But then you have, you know, teams like Texas Tech, Texas, Oklahoma State, you know, can they go on runs in the Big 12 tournament? Then the Sun Belt and the Conference USA tournaments, both of those teams, especially the top, have been really good this year. And just kind of curious to see how those two tournaments pan out. And let's not forget about the Pac-12 tournament. You know, we mentioned Washington earlier. They have teams like UCLA that we mentioned. If they can go on a wild run, get in the 30s, win that conference tournament championship, maybe they can sneak in and grab a host. So the Pac-12 tournament is fascinating as well.
Well, help me out, guys. Is there any way to watch the Pac-12 tournaments?
Pac-12 network to. That like 10,000 people have.
Yeah, I don't have a way to watch it.
That's a shame. We could probably find a workaround for you, Mark. We'll talk. That we'll talk after. Awesome. Guys, I'm excited about the ACC tournament where I'm going to be this weekend because there's a lot, you know, I think you hit on a bunch of the other storylines in other leagues. There's plenty to watch. I do think the Big 12 is fascinating with those RPIs who can boost themselves into hosting range, but ACC, you've still got a couple of teams playing for their at-large lives, Clemson and NC State, you know, and even Florida State could use a win here to probably secure themselves. And then you've got this kind of batch of teams battling for hosting position, particularly Virginia and Notre Dame. Keep an eye on, you know, a team like North Carolina or Wake Forest. I mean, they finished 500 in the league. Let's say they get to the weekends and let's say they go 3-1, you know, they reach the championship game. I mean, if you're 18-16 with a top, you know, dozen RPI, like those teams could sneak into the hosting range. So a lot to watch in the ACC also. We'll be following it all, of course, all week. We will be updating our projections regularly over the course of the week. I don't know if we're going to do another full Nerdcast until next Sunday. Probably not. I'm guessing this week will be a little too manic for that. But at the very least, we'll
maybe
do this
Friday. Maybe. Don't we both have the day off Friday? Do y'all?
No, we've got games Friday, but we'll figure it out. At the very least, we'll have updated projections, and I know we'll do a full Nerdcast Sunday afternoon. So we will have our final projection then. In the meantime, follow everything at D1 Baseball. We're going to have on-site coverage from all over the place. I know Shotgun is in Las Vegas. Kendall's in Hoover. I'm in Charlotte.
Eric Stitch is in Arlington.
Dallas, in Arlington. So we're going to have coverage from all over. I'm sure we'll have coverage from the Big Ten. Do we ever figure out who's going to the Big Ten? I'm sure one of those guys are going.
No one.
Okay. We won't have coverage from the Big Ten. Sorry. these things happen. But we've covered the hell out of the Big Ten. Those two guys, Burke and Patrick, tip of the cap. Great stuff from them. So anyway, we've got you covered at D1Baseball.com. Thanks for listening to the Nerdcast, and we will talk to you soon. So long, everybody.